This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello everyone, welcome to the latest episode of the Hull and Bat podcast, sponsored by Old Zoological Bar and Kingfisher Fish and Chips in Hull. A nice seamless intro makes a change. We're missing Nathaniel today, so I hope he's watching and envious at that one. We've got a nice happy podcast this time round, and I'm joined this time by Will and Tom. How are we doing, lads? Are we all right?
Yeah, I'm really, really good after yesterday, as everyone is.
Nice and very happy, the smug face is in full effect.
Yeah, Will's very smug because his actual prediction came right. It's 3-0. It's what, over a year in the making, was it? When was the last time? Was it QPR 3-0, was it?
It was QPR. Back in 1742, it feels like.
Yeah, so obviously back-to-back defeats last time out. Want a very nice happy episode. Me and Will fortunately weren't very involved in that one, but you was, Tom. Obviously a midweek win coming from behind against Middlesbrough. A game of two halves, really. Would you agree? First half was quite thingy, but obviously came back in the second half much stronger. Is that something you'd agree with, Tom?
Yeah, the tactical change definitely, you know, obviously changed the complexion of the game. Getting Vinagre down the wing. Bringing Soufan on as well, who both had a say in the goals. Well, obviously the second goal, and it's obviously Vinagre's best on the left that plays the ball across, and then obviously Soufan on the edge smashes it in, and obviously that's given him the confidence now to perform out of his skin past two games. But yeah, I never expected us to come back after that first half. I mean, you know, obviously after how we played, but credit to Rossini for making them 3 substitutions on the 60th minute, because it completely changed the game, and ultimately we took the impetus from that and went on and won the game. And if you want to get into the playoffs, that's the sort of game you've got to, that's the sort of turnaround you need, and luckily we got that.
Yeah, is that something you echo, Will, or did you see the game in a different way? I mean, the first half was pretty poor, wasn't it? But like we say, that second half was much better.
Yeah, I think it's similar. The tactical change at the hour mark, pretty much before the hour mark, was what changed it. I think we actually probably played worse, for me, in that first half against Borough than maybe against QPR, to be honest. Definitely the worst we played. We definitely played worse than that and won as well in a couple of the games. And it's a weird one, because City just looked, you'd have thought they'd have wanted to respond to QPR brightly, and they kind of didn't really at first. But once he made the change and he brought on Vinagre and he brought in a couple of extra players, it was no looking back. I think Borough didn't really play particularly massively well. They could have been out of sight as well, even though they weren't playing too well. But it shows, like, this team has won so many points from coming from behind this season that there's definitely that resiliency is something that shouldn't be questioned, really.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think we've obviously been in that situation a lot of times this season where we've come back from behind. And
yeah, I mean, obviously, you know,
I think I'll Ant out of sync.
Yeah, well, out of sync.
That is the worst technical problem I think we've ever had.
Because I was speaking and like I was expecting to say something. You just sat there for like 30 seconds and you said something like in response to something I said like a minute ago.
Honestly, on my laptop screen, everything just froze completely. I didn't know where I was anymore, so I had to switch my phone.
I might just start the audio version here. I'll just cut what happened from before.
Yeah, we'll just eliminate video content for now. I'm sorry, guys. We can't do it. Modern technology is just too obviously difficult. Where was we anyway whilst I've been gone? Because I've probably missed about 10 minutes.
Would you like to know about your winner?
Yeah.
I mean, have we spoke about obviously the impact of the subs that have come on? I mean, Vinagre is
I was actually saying to you, how with this the Brasinia totally changed the game tactically in the 60th minute when he brought on Vinagre, Tufan, and who was the last one? I forgot the last one. Is that like, yeah, Doherty as well. Obviously, bringing them on just sort of gave us the different impetus. I think like we started exploiting them from out wide, and obviously we scored that set piece. Greaves flicked header on, and then at the back post, the easiest goal they'll probably score, and then Vinagre goes down the wing. You know, sprints past and then puts the ball across, and it was that sort of impetus that we needed really to come back. And I said like, you know, that's the makings of like a playoff team when you can come back from behind like that. And as we've done so many times this season, what is it like 13 points from losing positions or something like that? So
it's 13, yeah.
So it's Spurs well really,
and a bit of redemption as well for Ryan Allsopp. Obviously, few mistakes in the games leading up to this. Few people, you know, questioning whether or not he should still be the number one, or we should put Ingram in goal, kind of either just to spare him on to improve his own form, or just to get, you know, a more solid keeper in. But that triple save at the end essentially won us the game, didn't it? And I mean, like Rosinha said in his interview, that togetherness, the celebration with the players at the end, that kind of shows you that they all support each other and they're all aware of it. So was it a really important moment for Allsopp, that, Will, do you think, for him confidence-wise? Because obviously he was in a bit of a rut, wasn't he?
I think so. I think it was a response. But, I mean, at the same time, I personally would never have dropped him. I know some people wanted to drop him, but we're clearly a better side with him in it, even if he does make the odd mistake, as that was. And it wasn't the best moment for him, to be fair. But his performance in the Borough game, it wasn't just that triple save at the end. There was a couple of saves he'd made earlier on in the game as well, which were very good. And I know we'll get on to Cardiff proper, but he had a comfortable... I know he didn't have much to do with the Cardiff game, but what he did have to do, he did it dealt with well. So it was a nice couple of games for him that he's had where he can get his confidence back up if he had ever dropped properly in the first place. And I can't think he's kind of proved that he's not this... People have said he's like, he's just not good enough, and I just disagree. And you got to give him a chance to respond to an error. And he did so fantastically.
Yeah. What I want to say, like, when obviously I'm going on to a different topic, but like when Philogene went injured, I'll speak about him like in the QPR game, we looked like shell shocked, like in terms of when he went off the pitch. We had no width, we didn't really have any creativity or ideas in the final third. I think like we was playing some good stuff, but the final product let us down. But now I'm happy to see like players are stepping up now in his absence. Like Before, prior to his injury, I felt like we was a bit over reliant on him down that left side, and that was sort of a burden to us, especially in like the Watford game. Kept on playing the ball to him, and that was our only avenue to goal. And now we seem to be like scoring all different types of goals, like and people are chipping like Tufan has, you know, with goals, and that's only good to see. Like it shows that since his injury, like the rest of the squad are stepping up, and as we saw in the Middlesbrough game, like especially like. That comeback just shows like how together this squad is, and that's only early birds well, really.
I feel like the Wigan, the Middlesbrough game, sorry, was a game where it's
we had to dig deep. I mean, Middlesbrough are a really good side. Obviously, they finished in the top six last season, and it was a ground that we don't tend to get anything from. And then obviously when we went 1-0 down and Jones missed that opportunity, you're thinking, you know, this could be a game where we're on the wrong side of the thumping. But like we say, we dug deep, and in that second half, I think showed a different kind of side to us that we've probably not seen enough this season. That strong defensive resilience that we showed last season, but have questioned at times this season. And obviously we'll add that on into the Cardiff game, which we'll go on to. So back at home, you know, Cardiff side that were only 3 points behind us. Probably all expecting more of a game than we actually got. is that something?
I think that reflected in my prediction, like 1-0. I felt that it was going to take a moment of brilliance to beat them, because there have been, I suppose, you know, you look at them losing to Birmingham, you think that's just a blip. They're going to come back and they're going to perform well against us, but it was all one-way traffic as far as we're concerned. And I'd say, like, that was probably our best performance of the season. I know we'll go into it more, but like in terms of how we played, like how we conducted ourselves, rarely give Cardiff a chance to go forward. Didn't really look like conceding at any point. And we didn't take our foot off the gas as well. So I think complete performance. Yeah.
And we had a fast start, didn't we? I think that's something that we've been missing this season, is we've sometimes been too ponderous, I think, at the beginning of a game and been too slow and allowed the other side to get a feel for us and nullify it. But this game, I felt like straight from the off, we were right at them where we were.
Yeah, well, I felt Cardiff made a fatal error, because within 2 minutes, the long ball was played over the top, Conley was played through, and he does everything right. It's just good defensive blocking by the defenders. At that point, Cardiff should know that their high line isn't going to work and they're going to try and play over the top of them. And they never learned that lesson, because we do it several times throughout the rest of the game and we score from it in the end as well. They were very passive, Cardiff. They gave us way too much time on the ball. They allowed us to play through their lines way too easily. And I think, echoing on from what Tom said, I don't think it was the best performance of the season. I think it was the best performance we've had under Liam, full stop.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. In terms of, I just felt like as well, they couldn't live with us really. Like, I know we moved the lap up to the right, but as we've seen many times this season, when he moves out to the right, he's so effective. Like against Leicester, he puts in and scores. I mean, against Bristol City, the start of the season, he gets the assist for Tufan's goal. But then he was so key to, obviously, that first goal. Like, no one can, that burst of pace that he shows, like, not many defenders in the Championship, if anyone, can love that. And obviously, he has the presence of mind to fire it across, and then Conley gets the tap in, and that sets us on our way. But like Ant said, like, previously this season, we've struggled in the early parts of games, and we've struggled to get our foothold into it, and that sort of cost us really sometimes, like in terms of breaking teams down, but then we get the goal early on, and that sort of spares us on to dominate really.
I think I said this in the game, it seemed like Cardiff just set up really, really wrong in terms of tactics. Yeah. It kind of, how they set up was perfect for us, and I bet that surprised Rosinha a little bit, because I think they tried to they tried to put a front four, didn't they, when we had the ball, to try and press us into a point where we couldn't play out. But we just played it around.
When you've got Severi and Morton in midfield, like, they're so good, like, in tight areas, they can receive the ball and turn, and then they can play it off. Like, when teams try to press us hard, we can play through it. And then, so, you either give them a chance to sit back and we try and eventually break them down, or that they come at us. And invariably, like, Cardiff didn't really do either. Like, they pressed a little bit, but not enough to sort of, you know, sort of take us off our stride and maybe kick out a play instead of playing through them. But they also didn't sit back and defend well, so it was sort of played into our hands.
Like I said, they let us play through their lines just so many times. There was so much space for whenever Seri or Morton had the ball, there was suddenly loads of space for Connolly and Delap to exploit and Tufan, and vice versa, whenever they get the ball, that those run forward and from midfield. I was very surprised in the lack of change from Cardiff as the game went on, especially at the start of the second half. It was exactly the same. I was very surprised. And
Bowler, he looks like he's bulked up a lot since he was at City.
Yeah, I said the same. He looks beefy now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
For me, it was a case of, I mean, we said obviously how they set up tactically, but I feel like even when you're in this kind of game, I felt like about 20, 30 minutes into the game, I was saying if we had Philogene in this game, we'd probably been 1-0 up already. But then, obviously, we score not long after, which was quite funny. Not until they like me to make a comment, then it'd be completely opposite straight after. But is it showing that we've got a bit of strength in depth and adaptability to the circumstances? Because obviously, we were all, when we saw that Philogene was out for, you know, 6 weeks or so,
I was all thinking of playoffs or whatever.
Yeah,
the amount of people a week ago that were acting like the world was ending, and now you look at it.
Well, he's a phenomenal player, and obviously he's going to be missed. But we've shown in these two games that even in these kind of times where we're suffering, similar to how we were last season, we've shown that we can come up with a system and a way of playing that still wins us the game. And like you say, we played a different way to we did at Borough, but still managed to come away with quite a comprehensive win as well. So obviously, coming from a squad depth kind of view and as a fan, looking at the future and the games coming up, even without Philogene, we're still in the mix and in the top six now, and we still got him to come back. So Rosinha was asked about the playoff chase this season and said, why can't the fans dream? Are we in the part of the season now where we can start talking about it as a serious thing that we could be aiming for?
I don't want to like look back on this and think regret it, but I've just looked at the teams around us and I think we're better than them. Like in terms of the football we play, the quality we've got in the final third, and how strong we are defensively. So why can't we dream of finishing the playoffs? Like, look where we are now. I think we're entering a pivotal period now where a 10-game stretch where it can define your season. So we'll have to see at the end of that. But right now, I'm pretty confident that we'll be in and around there at the end of the season.
And I feel like we've probably missed a trick as well. We've scored two set pieces in two games.
That's one thing. The defending for Liam Delap's header was absolutely magnificent from Borough, just letting him walk across the entire penalty box to tap in at the far post.
Yeah.
And then my boy Scott Twine, who I've been defending for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Mm. Yeah, he's been improving steadily
game on game. And there you go, 3 goals in 4 games.
I think we're starting to see like the Scott Swan that we signed, really. Like now he's adapting to the system. I think he's playing out on the left where I'm not sure that's his best position, but he's adapting well. And I think that gives him the license to cut inside and create as well. And what I like about him is he presses so well. Like he gives 110% every week, and that's all you can ask for a player. Now he's providing the quality to go with it as well. So I'm happy to see like him sort of improving.
Yeah, I mean, I think now that he's got that one free kick in his locker, I think we might start seeing him at least ones that are testing.
That's the perfect range, I think. That is the perfect range for him. Like he's so good at just getting up and over. Yeah. Like,
when it was given, I thought I did think at the time that's bang on where he wants it to be. So it would have been typical for him to sky it. But I think
like it was going to go in there. Like I had that feeling, it was all there so far.
He was helped by the fact that I don't know who it was, who the Coventry player was, who was stupid enough to think he was
kind of able to stand in front of the wall.
I think having
who was that little Cardiff player that was like
standing or something,
he was standing like six yards, like. And just won't move, sir.
I think he was trying to distract him. Do you know like what players do when you've got a penalty and they try to sort of play a little bit of mind game, delay it and make you go in your head? I think he was trying to do that, but it didn't work.
I think the extra bit of time helped Twine. It let the game calm and it just gave him more time to sort of sight himself.
Yeah, and he got a yellow card for his troubles as well, which was completely pointless in the end because we ended up bagging it. So it didn't work for him at all. But I feel like if we're coming on the praise for players that have previously come in for a bit of slack in the last few weeks, I think Ozan Tufan, I'm going to go out there and say I think that was his best game in a Hull City shirt.
He scored that trick against
Wednesday. But in terms of a
complete performance,
he just didn't stop running, did he, Tom?
Nah, he was unreal, like. We've said we know he has the ability in his locker, we know that, but sometimes we have questioned his work rate and you know what he gives for the badge. But I think now we're seeing the complete Ozan Tufan and in behind that sort of striker, sort of, you know, like second striker role, really, where he just like peels off. That's definitely his best position. Like we saw towards the end of last season, him and Traore, like they struck up a decent partnership, and I remember that performance against Sunderland where he was just on fire. We're sort of seeing that now, like. He just has that X factor about him where he can produce that moment of brilliance. And Like, we never really questioned his finishing ever. It's just the other parts of his game. Maybe he's like link-up player. Maybe he's a bit lapsed sometimes in possession. But when he gets into that final third and he gets that chance, he invariably finishes it. Like, he's so cool and under pressure. Like, that obviously, the pass from Morton was unreal. Like, to pick out that pass, we said about Cardiff playing high line. He's exploited it there. And then, obviously, Tufan with that death lob over the keeper. Like, such a good finish. And it just shows, like, the sort of quality we've got in the final third. And Tufan, just someone that has that ability to score goals.
Yeah. The biggest question marks over Tufan, I think, were about his work rate off the ball and his fitness levels and sometimes his desire in games. But I feel like in this game, I don't think there was a moment in the game where he wasn't sprinting or pressing or tracking back. Like, if you get the ball quicker. Away...
He's actually quite quick. He's quick as well, you know. Like, it's quite surprising to watch him when he's, like, sprinting, like, at full speed. He's actually quite quick.
Well, the amount of times he's now seen him sprint 80 yards back to defend, he's just mental when you think of the player we had last season.
Yeah. I think it's just about... I mean, how do we get this consistent level of Ozan Tufan every game? Because I feel like at the minute it's kind of a... We see two or three games of him on top form, and then
he's a purple patch player, isn't he? He's a purple patch player. Like, we've seen it at the start of the season. Yeah, like next week, he could drop a 6 out of 10 performance, and then we'd be like, oh, he's gone back to his normal self again.
You say, how do we get the best out of him? It's ultimately up to him, because he's the one that, if he keeps playing as he has the last couple of games, he'll keep on. But if he has that off day, it's likely he'll have another one straight after.
I've got a question, right? So, do you know, say, if like, when everyone's fit, would you, because obviously Connolly's come back into the team now, I think he's done decent. I think what he offers in behind, like in terms of the running, you saw it he nearly scored, like what Will said earlier, like where he runs in behind, play the ball, he goes around the keeper, he's unfortunate not to score, like it's good defending. But I think what Connolly offers there is really good for stretching defences where we're struggling to break teams down. But would you, when everyone's fully fit, like when Philogene comes back, would you move the lap back into the striker position and drop Connolly, or would you keep it the same? Because I think right now, I think it's more balanced, I think, with the lap out wide and Connolly up front. But it depends on the team, I guess. But
it's a weird one, because I don't think it is the case, but it feels like when we have Philogene playing, he is the focal point and most balls go to him and most of the attack goes through him. The last couple of games he's not played and it feels like we've actually focused on the team as a whole going forward, and that it's been more varied creation of chances from around the box. It feels like, I think we're good both ways. It's just a matter of, I think in order to go to the next level, we need to vary it up in a game.
But like is the dependence on Philogene not because of...
Because he's so good.
There is, that. And the fact that we very rarely have a consistent player who plays on the right.
I think it's part of that, definitely. But...
Because if it's not, you know, Lukilo comes in the team, plays well, gets injured, so we play Delap out there sometimes, and then he gets boomed back to the middle, then you play Adama Traore out there sometimes. And Slater's even played there against Borough, and it's like one of those where... If you've not got a consistent player on that right-hand side that offers the same thing game by game, then you're going to go with what you know in down the
line. I do think Delap is probably, funnily enough, he's probably is our best right-sided player in the squad right now, if we're being honest. Like, we've seen Traore play out there like loads of times this season. I don't like him out there. I think he slows play down too much. He cuts inside and then, you know, we're passing back. You see Slater out there, he's not a winger. He's not a winger at all. And then you see Lukilo, like he's shown glimpses, but again,
but he's made
he's had injury troubles, you know. So I think the lap up there is such a danger and can create chances.
I think a good question would be, say Philogene was fit for Friday against Bristol, which of that front four are you in theory dropping? Because I couldn't choose one, really.
I'd drop, as harsh as it would be, I would drop, I don't know. I'd say
exactly.
Well, you know, because it's tough. I was going to say Connolly, but then that means Twine still plays out on the left, and he's better in the number 10. But then if you play him in the number 10, you don't play Tufan. So no, it's a hard question. Aww. But I guess it's not one for us to answer, is it? We're not the manager.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Ultimately, the manager is not the one who has that issue.
Yeah, Rosinha is, but it's a good problem to have.
It's all for Liam to decide.
Yeah. So, like we say, we responded to back-to-back defeats, we're back-to-back wins. Keeps us in the top six. We only dropped out of fifth today because West Brom got a point against Stoke. Like we say, we've got some players coming back from injury now and slotting themselves back into the side. Like Slater's coming back now and looking good as well. And the former Tyler Moore and you know, all these young players that we've got on loan and saying, obviously, you don't fall into the loan players.
Sorry to interrupt. It was also nice to see Andy Smith get his debut for the SC as well. Been at the club since he's nine, so it's nice to see someone from that young age finally get into the starting lineup at some point. Well, not starting.
Silas Fleming as well. Obviously, Silas Fleming came on as well.
His home debut, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to see that, obviously, we're still giving youngsters a go as well. I mean, probably, you know, it's more or less forced through injury this season, but it's like we say, it's always good experience for them to come on and get some time. Because I feel like Andy Smith is a player that we plan to have for quite a while, definitely as the understudy to Jones. It's probably quite harsh that we decided to play two left footers at the back instead of him when we had the chance to do so. But yeah, like I say, no, it's to have these youngsters come through, it's always good, isn't it?
Yeah, he's the thing is with Smith, like, I suppose with the only time we've properly seen him this season against Doncaster, and that was an unfair reflection of him, I think, in that performance. But I think there's a reason why Rossini has him as like our fourth choice centre back, is because probably he's obviously highly rated, and how he performed at Grimsby last season really good. So I think
it's inexperience, though, isn't it? It's sometimes a manager is hesitant to chuck a player straight into, you know, first team in the Championship. Start this game. Give us the same effect as Alfie Jones would have done when they've not really played any Championship football before. So, but then again, you know, you look at players like Jacob Greaves that went League Two, League One, Championship, and that's the best way they establish themselves. But with how low we are at the back in terms of numbers for defenders, especially, I don't think
can't
Smith,
afford to, can we?
No, we can't.
But
really
then I've also bought it before. Like, people say, look, we need to sign a centre back. I've said it myself, but it's hard to sign a centre back in January knowing that the centre back's going to come in and probably just be a backup. Like, no one's going to want to come in and just sit on the bench. So it's a tough situation where you need the depth, but you can't really sign anyone knowing that you're just going to leave them out, unless you're going to sign an upgrade on Jones, Greaves and McLaughlin. And, you know, if you want an upgrade on them, you're going to have to pay the money, and we don't really have the capacity to do that. So it's one of them.
Yeah, I don't think centre back's a really big position we'd be looking at signing anybody for anyway. Like you say, it's too tough to convince somebody to come in and say you're going to probably most likely be a bench player at best.
Yeah, unless we have an injury crisis there, it's unlikely.
Yeah, unless you sound like a lone player, but you know, we've already got two great ones in that. So.
Yeah, and like we say, Andy Smith's got pedigree and potential in terms of, you know, I think he won player of the season twice while he was at Grimsby. So, you know, he's obviously got a very high ceiling, similar to a lot of the players we've got. So, if the time comes to give him the chance properly, then I'm sure Rossini would do it. Harry Vaughan came on, looked sprightly and promising again.
Steve
back. Yeah. Unlucky with a couple of his chances.
I was pleased, he got into that situation and you could see, like, how desperate he was to score. Like, he just took the chance, but, like, he was just straight at the keeper both times, unfortunately. But I think there's promise there. He's only 19 again, like, and he's already playing Championship football. So I think you see the way, like, he drives at defenders and how difficult it is to stop. I think if he sort of bulks up a bit, like, over the coming years and works on his final product, then he's going to be some player, I think.
I do think he maybe would benefit from a loan in January.
Maybe League One or Two. Like, I think anyone down there would probably take a talented player like that.
Yeah, somewhere he's going to play week in, week out. I don't like the loans where they go and play a sort of bit part. I don't think Xavi Simons is playing that often at Fleetwood,
he's
even.
He's barely played with Simons, which is a shame.
Yeah, because he's a very good player. He's a player I'd have been happy to have in and around the first squad here, so it's weird that he's not getting regular game time in League One.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
But yeah, so a good week in terms of results. So 6 points in response to the two defeats in a row. We've got a tough week coming up, a tough few weeks actually, considering it all the way up to New Year. Who we've got next? So we've got Bristol next, haven't we? Yeah. A game that probably is going to be harder than it looks, I think. They've just beaten, who did they just beat? Sunderland, who had just got a couple of
4 points after that.
And then, yeah.
That's the thing with the championship,
yeah. Yeah, hey, it's another acid test away as well. A game that I feel like we'd take a point from. Am I right in saying?
Oh, definitely.
That's it's difficult to go then. As we've seen over the years, like we got spanked on the last day, not last season, the season before. Then I think last season, did we lose 1-0? We've not had a good record there, but I think we've got the tools there to go win, but. Yeah, if you have to offer me a point now, I'd take it. Yeah.
And this has been a season of hoodoo breaking for some of our bogey grounds, to be fair. We didn't normally tend to get anything from Riverside or Ewood. We got points off them. I know QPR continued their usual streak against us, but it's a game that's going to be a different proposition to what we saw, obviously, when they played us in the MKM under Nigel Pearson, because obviously they've got Liam Manning as manager now, wanting to play, as most teams are now in this division, in a more attractive attacking sense. So
I do think like it does, it's going to take like a manager shake it up, I think, like to come in and play a different style of football, because it's just becoming so like monotonous, the championship, like this, all this possession based football, like every single manager seems to want to play it, like you want someone to come in there just sort of like Luton did like last season, where they sort of play a different style of football and it works. It'd be quite refreshing to see that, because right now most managers just want to play the possession football.
What you're saying is you want to see Sam Allardyce get a job in the championship.
Yeah, Tony Fielder's getting back. Long throws. Hoofball.
I think it's because like football tends to go through trends, doesn't it? It's like, yeah. Do you remember when Brucey came and started playing three at the back? And then
no one did it for a couple of years. Then suddenly
the whole league decided to adopt three at the back. And it's one of those where a manager comes in with a new, fresh idea. Like, what do you call it? Chris Wilder did with Sheffield United with overlapping fullbacks and centre-backs, sorry. And all this kind of style where it's high press, high energy. You see one manager doing it, works, and every other manager goes, yeah, I kind of like that philosophy. And then they continue it.
It's like trying Guardiola with the inverted fullbacks. Like, every single team, like top team, or quite a lot of, even we're doing it a little bit, like Christie just like moving into midfield a little bit in possession, like. You know what I mean? Like every single team, well, not every single one, but seems like adopts like other managers' like philosophies, I guess, if it's working. So
I guess it's down to fan pressure sometimes as well, because if you look at another team playing like like we did against Cardiff, for example, another team looks at that and goes, oh, I wish we played that way. Ipswich as well. You know, it's, I guess the fans are like, oh, we want this style of football kind of thing. And so they go, do you know what? Yeah, let's try it. And then everyone kind of wants to play that same way because they associate it with success, I suppose. But it comes down to your manager at the end of the day, I think, like and being adaptable. Because I think if you look at Burnley this season, obviously they've gone up and they're really struggling and they're playing pretty much the same way. They've not seen it nor adapted it. And sometimes you've got to.
I think you reckon if we did go up, like, do you reckon Rossini would be smart enough to sort of adapt, like, and play a different style, or do you reckon we'd do a Burnley and try and play the same football? Because I think we'd just get torn apart.
I think we'd still play with the play out from the back that he wants to use, but we'd be a bit more, he'd encourage them to probably go direct more often, and we'd probably play a deeper, less high-press style. I think he's the smart enough manager, Rossi, to know that sometimes the quality of opposition you're against, if you leave yourself too open, you'll just get picked apart in a league like that. Yeah. But obviously, what's mad as well,
what a lot of people have been talking about is the points tallies. Like, if Leicester and Ipswich were winning away with it right now, like a normal championship season, we wouldn't be that far off at like the top two with the points tally we've got right now. I think, like, if you look at it, because
yeah, we're Leeds 6 points behind Leeds, but if they're on like two, from this point last season, they'd be top.
Yeah, because they're taking like 2 points per game, which is usually like enough to get automatic promotion. If you think that's what, like 92 points across the season, that's enough usually for automatics. But right now, like Leicester and Ipswich are getting, they're going to, if they carry on the way they are, like they'd be on over 100 points both. And that's like unheard of in the championship. So yeah, it just shows how well we're doing, I guess.
What about you, Will? I'm interested to know what you think. If we went up with Rossi, do you think he'd be a bit more conservative, or do you think he'd be like, no, this is my philosophy and this is what we're going to do? A bit like
Conte. I don't think it would matter what he did. I think we'd get smashed currently.
with promotion comes a lot of money in summer. He'd probably splurge a bit and we'd be in a different position.
I think it's just so hard now. Like you saw, like years ago, teams would go up from the Championship and two out of the three would stay up usually. But now you're seeing like at least two come down. I think it's just becoming so much harder to like bridge that gap. Like you're getting 100 million, but 100 million in this market is not that a lot to spend on players, I don't think. Like, so it's tough like, in the market. Yeah. So like you either go for it and spend like 150 million to stay up, or you just like do what like a lot of teams have done over the years and just like accept that you're probably going to come back down, but like sort of build a team like Norwich have done, you know, so we can just go straight back up. But yeah,
I would hate to become a yo-yo club. That sounds horrifying to me personally. I don't like the idea of, well, we have a good season to have a shite season. No, thanks.
You get to experience promotion every 2 years.
Yeah, but then you get to experience relegation every 2 years.
Yeah, but it's the Premier League. You'd expect it.
I would rather get promoted. Sorry, I'd rather win the title and then find some reason to, oh, we can't let you go up. You've done something dodgy. You have to stay down.
You've just got you've got to crack the code like Brentford and Brighton have done, where you get sort of a carousel of talent that comes through that you've got contingency plans for. So if you sell them for stupid money, you can bring another player in for next to nothing, and then they have the same effect, and vice versa. But it's so hard to do that, as shown, because all three promoted sides are currently the bottom three, and that's even with Everton getting a 10-point deduction that they've eradicated.
Yeah, I just look at some of their recruitment though, and it was poor. I think like Burnley, Sheffield United. I think Luton have actually done decent recruitment. If you look at like some like Barkley and Townsend bringing them sorts in,
I rather desperately and rather maybe rashly said that Luton would do the best of the three promoted teams. And to be fair,
a lot of people were saying Burnley, weren't they? Like. A lot of people, including myself.
Yeah. Just because they're so different compared to the teams that have been up recently.
Mm. I think with Burnley, it was a tough one because they obviously ran away with it last season to a point where we thought, you know, this side must have something about them to be there. But then they didn't really bring in the players that they needed to. And obviously players like Nick Nelson that were so crucial to them, they didn't get in, did they? And Sheffield United lost key players as well, like NDI.
Lost two best players.
Lost Sander Berge. It is tough in that sense. But I feel like we've gone off a bit on a tangent, so we'll come back. Bristol City away next. So
what do they have to do with the Premier League?
Yeah, nothing apparently. They've never been in it, have they? And they got now the
game close ones. I can't remember who against.
Yeah, they did. Someone stopped them. I think it was back in 2008. But no, a tough game. New manager, they're playing well. Good result against Sunderland last time out. We're in a bit of form as well, so it could be a good game. I haven't done a combined lineup because that's not my thing. So if Nathaniel's done one and he wants to type it in the comments,
it'll be on his blog, probably.
Yeah, it'll be on his blog if anyone
wants.
Yeah. But it's a game that are we going unchanged 11? Would you make any changes, or are we saying don't change the team?
I'd be keeping it the same. You can't, like, we've got obviously 6 days, haven't we, like, off, so if it was midweek then perhaps we'd make one or two changes, but yeah, it's keep the same team.
Yeah, I think it's important that Connolly's looking back to his best as well, because I feel like he's had a few question marks raised as well, and obviously his contract's up in summer, so he's a player that I feel like is coming to a very important time now of his City career, where he's got to prove that he can stay fit and keep it consistent in order to convince, obviously, Rosinha that he's worth keeping beyond this year. But he seems to have a really good partnership with, obviously, Delap and Toufan when they all play together. It just seems very fluid up front there. And I feel like he gives us a different dynamic in terms of running in behind. Yeah. Toufan obviously drops deep, and Delap, when he's out wide, is just a powerhouse and runs at him. So, like, I wouldn't change the team, and I think we'll go there, and I think we'll give him a good game. Like we say, we'd take a point, but we're going into it optimistic, though. Yeah,
pretty good mood. You can't not be after two in a row.
Yeah, so we'll go for score predictions then. Actually, speaking of Will, I'm not on the admin control anymore, so you'll have to bring the picture up. But I put the prediction league picture in the things. Will's 3-0 prediction. Finally came in. He's gone joint.
What do you mean?
So yeah, it was. I got a point.
As if I'm losing to a guy that predicted 3-0 all season. That's just.
So I don't know what that says about you, Tom, but you're joint bottom with opposition United.
Yeah, but to be fair, I always say this, but that Blackburn game, that was my prediction was 2-1, but. I'm so salty about it.
Well, we'll see where we're at the end of the season. We might give you a bonus 2 points just for feeling sorry for you.
I'll finish in second bottom instead.
It was 1 point for me, Tom, and Nathaniel because we all predicted wins. AD and the opposition predicted draws, so it only left Will.
Negative AD. He's above me.
Yeah. I feel like Will's about to give us a big smug speech.
3-0.
Is that what you're going for again?
Yeah. It clearly works.
Yeah, but I don't predict 3-0 every week, and I'm leveling points with you.
Yeah, well that's 3-0 clearly works because I'm not bottom.
So you keep
the forfeit result, isn't it?
No, forfeit. No, get on with you, Max. I assume you're going to ask us for our predictions now or something.
Yes, yes. What's your prediction, Will?
It's a tricky one. I think I'm going to go. I've gone for 3-0 all season and finally the curse has been broken.
And you actually got the freedom to choose whatever you want.
I am free to go anywhere I want, which is why I'm going to
pick point or what?
3-0 Hull City.
I just expected nothing different. Tom?
I'm going to go 2-0. Up the Tigers.
2-0. 2-0.
2-0 to Hull.
Yeah, it's risky. I'm going to go 1-1. I feel like that's a safe bet for a game like this. We've got a clean sheet. I don't know if we'll do it again at Bristol. It'd be a tough game. But yeah, I'll go 1-1, I think. Yeah. Yeah, you're locking in 1-1. Yeah, I'm not changing
my mind. I am a coward.
Why? What, just
because
for keeping
with me? Because I refuse to change.
I won't say cowardly. Maybe a bit daft, but maybe, I won't say cowardly. But like I say, you've got another 3-0. It's put your joint top of the table, so it can't be a bad thing. So, yeah, we've got Bristol City next then. So that's our predictions locked in. I'll have to get everybody else's in. And we've got Sunderland on Boxing Day at home. A game we can't really go too much into because, obviously, we've not played Bristol game.
We'll be chatting before Christmas, won't we?
Yeah. I would imagine so, yeah. We might do one on Saturday, 23rd in it, yeah. If we're not doing one on Christmas Eve, I don't think anyone wants to do or watch us on Christmas Eve. It's not very Christmassy, is it? I suppose. Unless we put Christmas hats on.
I'll put a Santa hat on. My very bare trees right there.
Yeah, true. So yeah, I feel like we've covered most things apart from, and I think you've seen the picture, Will. Big news today, obviously. I feel like we probably should have let
it. I was about to mention that.
Our leader and gaffer, Liam Rosinha, took over last November and he's finally signed. I feel like this contract negotiation, they said 2 weeks ago, it was going to be signed within days. And it's only just been done, but it has been done.
It was signed within days. Say how many.
Okay, if we're going to go like that. But yeah, he signed on for obviously another 3-year deal, which keeps him here till 2026. Obviously shows from the owner that he believes in what we're doing. I believe every single reaction to him signing the deal was positive. I don't think I saw anything negative that wasn't a mick take or a wind up. So I assume we're both very happy with this news.
On the graphic, it just shows the difference between him joining and currently, because as you can see there.
For audio listeners, we were 21st.
21st, yeah.
A point above Wigan on 20 points after 18 games. And now, obviously, after 22 games, we're I feel like graphics just late because obviously West Brom played, but we're sixth now on 36 points. So quite the turnaround within a year. We should still just be higher as well if we did put some of our chances away. But
it's funny because as time has gone on, at the time, I forgave Adama Traore for his miss against Leeds. And now we're only... We could be 3 points behind them if he put it away.
I'll never forgive him. Never. Just because of the opposition.
Would it be 3 points behind him?
If he'd have done it against Plymouth, I wouldn't have been that bothered. And I feel like I'd have just forgotten about it the next day. But because it was against them. No, I'll never let it go. Not unless he scores against them in the playoff final.
It's set up nicely, though, isn't it? Playoff final against Leeds.
You say that. That could be worse. That could be more terrifying to watch than the FA Cup final was.
It would be an experience. If we lost, it would be pain.
The worst imaginable. I think probably worse.
It would be worse than the FA Cup final. Yeah.
But if we won.
It would.
If we won.
Oof. The best
of it. It'd be the best of the three playoff finals, probably. Now, I don't know. There's a lot behind the Bristol one, to be fair. It'd be better than the Wednesday one.
Yeah. But obviously, long term stability wise, he's signed on for, and that does mean that if obviously a Premier League club did come calling, say next season we didn't go up, the fee that they'd have to pay would probably put them off. And if it didn't,
They'd say there'd be no place he'd rather be, but it's still that in your mind where you think if a Prem club did come calling,
money, I wouldn't blame him for going.
Yeah, and I feel like every manager and player says that. And I mean, I remember a certain Nigel Pearson saying he was very happy here, and then within 2 days was back at Leicester. So, you know, money talks and ambition. I feel like
difference is though.
Yeah, there's that
there was
sentimental
peace and
value
had the link with Leicester
one,
previous, whereas Rossini has the links with City.
Yeah, and I feel like he honestly sees this as a place that is the best place for him to be in terms of him growing as a manager. He's got an ambitious owner, he's got a fan base that loves him, he's got connection to the area, he's got exciting young players, and probably bringing in a couple more in January as well. And he's able to have like a safe environment that he's comfortable with in order to really express what he wants to do and get his vision across. I feel like that's going to be really important.
He's got family ties as well. That's important. Like being familiar with a club and the area that you just like, where some managers have like that embedded period, a couple of months, he was hit the ground running straight away because obviously he's played for us for years and has family here. So yeah, it should be brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really good news to wake up to. Obviously, I think Gev Sutton said on Twitter, it sort of capped off a really good week for us. Obviously, 6 points, and then Rossini's new contract signed. It's
he predicted his finish sixth, didn't he?
Gav. He did, and he got a lot of flack for it as well. A lot of people outside,
looking decent, Touchwood. So,
I predicted 10th. I'm going to stick with it still for now. I'm not getting hyped.
I think I said it. Anyway, I believe I said eight. But still, even from this position, I feel like if we came to the end of the season and we finished outside of the playoffs but in the top 10, it's still been a really, obviously, we've been there.
We'd still be after, wouldn't we?
You'd be out.
Well, I would be.
The thing is, what's the worrying part about this division? Like, you look how congested it is between where we are and where, like, 17th position is, like, there's probably like 6 points or something, so it can easily turn around. So we're just hoping now we can string a few wins together and sort of create a bigger gap, just so it takes the pressures off like a little bit. Because I wouldn't say there's pressure on, but like you want that gap there, like just knowing that you're in the playoffs.
I feel like the pressure increases as we continue to kind of make the rest of the league take note. Like
we're not slipping under the radar as much, are we?
A lot of the Sky Sports are picking up on now the job that he's doing, and we're getting a lot more attention drawn to.
I'm waiting for Rossini to start getting the Carrick treatment of last season. If he carries on, he will start getting it.
Because, I mean, it's going to be tough because realistically, you're only really playing fifth and sixth place, aren't we? If we're being realistic. At the moment,
but I don't
to me, that top four.
There was only 6 points there.
Yeah,
there is only
that
6 points.
But will not maintain its current points per game at all. It will over time. There will be some at least two of that top four will not necessarily drop out of that entire thing, but will definitely their points per game will go down a lot, and allow other teams to sort of sneak towards them.
Mm. But it's shaping up to be a very good season, and that's the main thing.
Leicester have got a great squad, but I think they've got away with it in a lot of games this season. Personally.
Yeah, they are. But they've also still managed to get those points
on the
table, innit? And then Ipswich, I mean,
look how many like last minute goals they've scored at Leicester, like just to win games, like West Brom, who else was like Huddersfield or something, or Coventry, had a couple of games.
Speaking of last minute goals, Sheffield Wednesday keeps scoring in the last minute, and that's a little bit annoying. I don't really want them to stay up.
Yeah,
that's
Ash on the auction pod's going to be buzzing on Thursday.
I was devastated because it looked like Tom Eaves, the jungle cat, had saved the point for Rotherham. He finally scored, and then Plymouth broke the hearts.
Yeah. Oh, Keane Lewis Potter scored today for Brentford as well.
Yeah.
His first Premier League goal.
I've not seen the goal, like.
No, I haven't seen it either. Yeah, and they also lost as well. But Bowen scored in a win. He's still scoring goals. Yeah. I feel like that's more old news. But yeah, it's shaped up to be a very good season. Obviously, manager's signed on now till 2026. You know, we're in the top six. We hopefully will be in the top six for Christmas Day. And I feel like if anyone had said that at the beginning of the season, we'd have snapped their hands off for it. January transfer window coming up. I feel like it's going to be a very important month for this squad.
I think we only need to take a point from Bristol City to be in the guaranteed to be in the top six, though, because we're 3 points ahead, so just a point in it. Yeah. From Bristol City,
Yeah, but Sunderland are only three points behind, aren't they? So if Sunderland win and we... I don't know what the goal difference is with us and Sunderland.
No, so if we say if we got took a point from Bristol City and Sunderland still won, we'd still be at least 1 point ahead, yeah.
So it'd be nice to be in the top six for Christmas. And like we say, yeah, really good week, January transfer window coming up, and suiting up for what looks to be a very exciting last few months of the season. Definitely probably surpassing most people's expectations. Young, exciting squad, feel good factor back in, crowds are back. It's really good. I feel like the match day atmosphere is brilliant at the minute. And I don't think there's anything else really that
there is something that you missed out one of the most important things, and there was a question about it earlier, and it's mainly at you, Ant, and the most important thing is how was the toffee apple crumble?
As good as it looked. I was kind of wounded that someone spotted out there was a hair in that, which I've probably consumed. Someone pointed out and close up on a bit of it, there was a hair in it, and I didn't know. I'd already eaten it by then, so yeah.
The marketing on that,
yeah. So no, but maybe just check.
I also had one post match in the press room, and it was also lovely. So it's not just.
How much is it? Not that you knew of, because I didn't know it.
How much is it? Like
£4.50. I can't remember how much it is. Is it just under a fiver? Or just around a fiver, one of them two.
Decent volume. It looks pretty sizable.
I wouldn't know how much it was.
Oh, it was yours free.
You get free. you get a few digestives as well.
No, we got a selection box.
Really?
Got a selection box and some mince pies and some gingerbread renders.
I feel like we need to rescind his press pass and let one of us go in.
Yeah, come on.
Share the load. It was really good. I had the chicken gyros as well, and that was really
nice. I've had that before, yeah. It's nice. It's just not enough chicken, is it?
The scran in general is absolutely
spectacular. It's one of those rare occasions where they're as good as they look.
Top tier scran, top tier manager, you know.
Yeah, it's all adding up. I've never been so happy
at this club.
the food's the most important bit. I'd take a top 10 finish if we just kept on having nice food. But yeah, no, I feel like now that the important topic has been discussed, we've probably covered absolutely everything that we need to. Right, so thanks to everybody that's been watching. Sorry about me, internet-wise and laptop and product failure. Yeah, I will be investing in a new laptop in the very near future because it is desperately needed. I was taking the mick out Nathaniel for
having
a real seamless episode as well with no issues, and then it was me that had the issues. So instant karma, instantly. But yeah, thanks everybody for watching. Obviously sponsored by Old Zoological and Kingfisher Fish and Chips. Thanks to Will, thanks to Tom for joining us. Make sure you follow Tigers Newsroom, and keep your eyes out for any updates in the new year about potential websites and written content and things like that. We're having a good discussion and mix up of that hopefully in the new year. But yeah, thanks everyone for their support. And Will, you're grafting the episode because I cannot.
Oh, that's a shame, isn't it?
I'm not on the admin one. I joined the link, so I'm going to guess one, unfortunately.
I might just.
But at least it'll go right.
Leave it playing out for the rest, or I'll just end it in the middle of a sentence.
Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.